not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have to rise above challenges and find strength in the midst of adversity.
We are in a battle of good versus evil.
Satan is the father of confusion.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to keep calling them out.
They're berserk trying to disarm Americans, and we need to push back.
I'm glad you're fighting for America.
There's always hope.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. Now, we have a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to talk about Biden's latest blunders, failures in our education system, transhumanism, and all things hunting and rock and roll with my husband, Ted Nugent. Welcome.
Now you're talking. Absolutely. All the good things in life. Truth, logic, and common sense. This is my wife, Chimene. So no matter what you might think of me, I'm on point because she married me. Happy hunting season, everybody. It's going to be the best hunting season of our lives. God wants us to participate as hands-on conservationists and celebrate the spirit of the wild. I just thought I'd mention that.
And we are going to talk about hunting, but before we get started,
I think we already started.
I want to talk about our health before we get into the discussion.
You know, Chimene, you have literally changed people's lives because she's an older gal. Can we admit you're 61?
I'm 61.
It's unbelievable.
That's an older gal. I guess I'm an older gal.
Yeah, you'd kick ass on college cheerleaders, and I'd love to watch that.
Okay.
But the point being is that health is everything, and we can determine our quality of life based on healthy choices. It's all about choices.
And we can't continue to fight the evil in this world unless we're healthy. So you and I started taking Field of Greens.
Field of Greens.
We put a scoop in our water and sip it through the day, and then we get our daily servings of fruits and vegetables that way, because I'll admit, I don't know if you will.
We have apple orchards here, and I eat a pear and an apple every day from the wild trees,
but
it's not enough.
I don't always eat right, hence the little cookie that I had yesterday and Fritos here and there. So we eat Field of Greens to make up for that, and it's medically selected. Each apple and each vegetable that's in Field of Greens, all the fruits and vegetables are selected so that it helps your vital organs like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. And you know what? There might be another round of COVID coming.
Yeah, I got a message for you.
Get your Field of Greens and stay healthy. And you can get a discount. Who doesn't want a discount? If you visit fieldofgreens.com, and my promo code is freedom. That's fieldofgreens.com. And your promo code is what?
I think spirit, maybe. Campfire, I don't know, what middle finger, I don't know, all I can say is that Chimene and I are very, very alive. We're very healthy, and I attribute a lot to the Field of Greens. Go to fieldofgreens.com, fieldofgreens.com, and supplement your healthy gift of life every day. You can do it. We should do it. We do it.
So, all right, let's get into more of the political realm and as it relates to hunting. Now, there's this thing called CWD. For those people who don't know about it, explain what CWD is.
Well, chronic wasting disease is the cervid, the deer family of mad cow and Creutzfeldt-Jakob's in human beings and scrapies in sheep. It's a mutated protein called a prion that causes the spongification of the brain of the animal. And they claim imminent death, but they can't prove that yet because there are some animals out there that have not been tested that might have CWD, chronic wasting disease. All I can say is that in the state of Texas, we love Texas, but I'm afraid they've got some dishonest bureaucrats, just like Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, the lying punk, criminal, corrupt monster, may be in charge of the Texas Parks and Wildlife. And those in the Texas Parks and Wildlife and the Michigan DNR and the Wisconsin DNR and the Illinois DNR and the Pennsylvania Game Commission, all these state wildlife agencies are being funded with tens of millions of dollars to study chronic wasting disease. Meanwhile, No deer herd since 1967, when it was discovered in Colorado, no deer herd has ever been hurt by chronic wasting disease. That's not the guitar player's hunch or presumption. It's been proven scientifically. No deer herd has ever been hurt by chronic wasting disease, and no humans have, there's no evidence that show that any human have got a variation of this spongiform encephalectomy, or whatever it's called scientifically, encephalitis, from a chronic wasting disease positive deer. They are lying. The bureaucrats in the game departments are lying. They are liars. Texas Parks and Wildlife, you are liars. Michigan Department of Natural Resources, you are liars. Chronic wasting disease means nothing
so what's
to the deer herds of America.
What's actually, before I go on, could we get our time also on the screen? Because I'm not sure how much time. We could just keep talking about this forever.
Forever.
But they're actually coming after Texas ranchers and deer
and
breeders.
Slaughtering. Thousands and thousands of deer looking for chronic wasting disease. Meanwhile, chronic wasting disease has killed a handful of deer. The Texas Parks and Wildlife have slaughtered tens of thousands of deer looking for it. They are corrupt, criminal bureaucrats. And in the state of Michigan, all you need to know is that the Department of Natural Resources says you can shoot the ribeye in the sky, the federal migratory game bird, the sandhill crane that is so overpopulated. They now allow us to shoot them, but forbid we the people to consume a ribeye in the sky. That's immoral. Texas Parks and Wildlife are lying and immoral. Michigan DNR are liars and immoral. And I don't obey lying, immoral bureaucrats, Dr. Fauci.
Okay.
And Texas Parks and Wildlife and Michigan DNR. Shemaine, it's out of control because they don't want us to be self-sufficient.
They want
us to rely on their poisonous FDA, chemically infested anti-food agenda, and we're not going for
it. And now here it goes the extra mile, so to speak, because in Pittsburgh, they're actually seeking out archers so that they can help with the deer population crisis.
They're 20 years late. The population of deer in the city parks have been so dangerously, so irresponsibly, so criminally ignored that they're being slaughtered and tortured by automobiles every day. They're dying of disease. They're dying of different maladies because of the overpopulation. And finally, the Pennsylvania Game Department said, well, maybe we should get some bow and arrow guys in there because I hear that you can kill deer with a bow and arrow. What a bunch of jerks.
Unbelievable. Now,
they should have a deer season wherever there are deer. You don't wait for disease and car deer accidents to slaughter thousands and thousands of deer as they cripple off and go off into the woods and die a lingering death. We should hunt them humanely with the bow and arrow. Shemaine and I kill our own food with the bow and arrow. I've killed four deer with my bow this year, and I watched each one die within seconds. They're dead faster than any beef you've ever eaten, any chicken you've ever eaten. They live wild and free, and I kill them the way Sitting Bull killed them.
It's very hypocritical. Speaking of hypocritical, let's go on to term limits. We're going to change topics here. We've seen Biden fall up the stairs, fall over on his bike, and flub his speeches. And Mitch McConnell has been seen just staring off into space like a robot. And then Dianne Feinstein's aide had to tell her which way to vote. I mean, come on, man. The Articles of Confederation adopted in 1781 established term limits for the delegates of the Continental Congress, mandating Article 5 that no person shall be capable of being a delegate for more than 3 years in any term of 6 years. Leaders like Biden, McConnell, Feinstein, Is that elder abuse, or what do you think's going on here, Ted?
Well, what I think is going on is that there's a deep state. There's a deep state of criminal, corrupt monsters, like all the names you just mentioned. And quite honestly, I think Uncle Sam, the government of the United States of America, is infested with the majority of criminal, corrupt, power-abusing monsters that have come to rely on the largesse of our overtaxed, hardworking Americans. And so they like to protect the deep state, which is why they hate Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has spotlighted the cockroaches. And I would just like to leave it like this. If we want to get the United States government to represent us based on the Constitution and the real rule of law, we have got to support Donald Trump for president in 2024. If Donald Trump is not president in 2024, America is done. These deep state power abusing criminal corrupt monsters that infest our government will continue to tax us to pay for some creep in Ukraine, billions of dollars, not take care of the Maui residents while I think Uncle Sam created the fires. And we could go on and on. Open the borders for invading
Chinese. It's all every day we wake up and we're shaking our heads all the time. I constantly have a headache and a sore neck because it is heartbreaking. What's happened to this once great country is stunning. And we got a minute left, Ted. I know I'm going to switch gears again. You just retired from your rock and roll tour.
Not really.
So what else is going on for you? I know you've got your Real America's Voice show on Friday nights at 10 p.m. Plus, we have our Pursuit show, Ted Nugent, Spirit of the Wild. What else have you got cooking?
Well, nobody will ever stop my music. I love my music. I've got the greatest song in the world, the greatest guitar tone. I was playing my Gibson Birdland down at the barn this morning. Jason Heartless on drums, Johnny Big on bass guitar. We're doing a show, two sold-out shows in Michigan's Upper Peninsula on the 22nd and 23rd of September. I'm still writing songs, but it's the hunting season, so I play my guitar like from 11 to 1 every day because the first 4 hours of daylight and the last 4 hours of daylight, I'm in a tree to balance the herds. This is a mystical, magical time of the year, and you can watch Shemaine and I celebrate it on the Pursuit Channel 8 times a week. Ted Nugent, Spirit of the Wild, 34 years, the number one hunting show in the world on Pursuit Channel 8 times a week, where we celebrate the greatest quality of life in the world in God's lap.
Thank you so much for joining me, honey.
And I love you,
honey.
I will
see you soon. Stick around. We're going to talk about transhumanism coming up next.
Hey friends, have you ever wondered why meat at the grocery store is always bright red? Well, that's because it's treated with carbon monoxide to prevent oxidation, and there's some other chemicals and fungicides in there too. Yuck. But maybe you want to try the Gates lab-grown meat. Are you kidding me? If you want real food from a real local farm without hormones, antibiotics, or mRNA, you gotta get this beef. Ted and I love it. Go to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com. And one of my team members is standing by, ready to help you get this delivered right to your door. We love these steaks, and you will too. Go to switchtoamericawithshemaine.com.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. You know, artificial intelligence has inserted itself into our lives, whether we like it or not. AI even makes important decisions for all of us every day. Author and transhumanism editor for Bannon's War Room, Joe Allen, describes how transhumanism is the great merger of humankind with the machine. Joe, welcome.
Thank you very much, Shemaine. Very good to be here.
So let's talk about transhumanism and how it merges mind and body with machines. Who's pushing this idea and why?
So it's a strange notion that many people who live healthy lives have a hard time wrapping their head around. Let me put it to you this way. Transhumanism is an idea about technology. You think about technologies that are really accelerating in their abilities, such as artificial intelligence, robotics, even brain-computer interfaces, and of course, genetic engineering. What do you do with these technologies? Transhumanists have a very, very clear answer on that. You use those technologies to augment and improve the human being as radically as possible, up to the point that it is barely recognizable as humanity, and even beyond the point at which human beings are completely irrelevant in the future. Now, there's many grades in between, and I would argue that even being with you here right now in this mode is an early phase, and transhumanists would say the same.
Yeah, I get that. But why, other than to improve the quality of life that we need? I mean, my husband has two knee replacements, so he's kind of part machine, but not really. They want, let's talk about who is they and what is their end goal.
Okay, first you want to think about the intellectual core, the people who are really generating these ideas. And this idea goes back for decades. In fact, arguably over a century. But you have people like Ray Kurzweil, top R&D director at Google. You have people like Max Moore, prominent philosopher who really put transhumanism on the map. You have people like Ben Goertzel and David Hansen. You've probably seen the bald robot Sophia that has gotten so much media coverage. Sophia was created as an emissary of transhumanism to humanity, from artificial intelligence as it will exist in the future, they believe, to humanity. It's very much a religious conception where technology is the highest power. You have people like Elon Musk. You have people like Sam Altman of OpenAI. In a much more normie or transhumanism light form, Bill Gates has really come around on this, you could say, to begin toying with ideas of super intelligent AI, as has Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google, now partnered with the Department of Defense. You have Larry Page, co-founder of Google, reputedly wanting to create a god in the data centers of Google, create an artificial intelligence god. And then you also have the World Economic Forum. Your listeners, I'm sure, are very familiar with the World Economic Forum. It's a platform for the most vocal and corporate and PC sort of transhumanists to voice their worldview. Klaus Schwab in his Fourth Industrial Revolution, that is an open declaration that humankind as a whole is moving towards what he calls the convergence of the physical, the biological, and the digital worlds. Transhumanism, merging human beings with machines. And then, of course, Yuval Noah Harari, very famous commenter on transhumanism. And then lesser known names like Zoltan Istvan, Hugo de Garis, and Kai-Fu Lee, prominent investor in artificial intelligence programs in China. And of course, Parag Khanna. All of these are detailed in my book, Dark Eon, Transhumanism and the War Against Humanity. That's Dark Eon, A-E-O-N. The goal that I had in mind when beginning, how do you understand the philosophical and really religious underpinnings that are pushing this technological revolution forward? And of course, how do you understand the technologies themselves? Where do they fit in your world?
Right. Now, you've got an academic background in both science and theology. So what is the paradox of good people constructing a digital abomination? And Joe, how do we get out of this? How can we course correct?
Well, I can't vouch for everyone working in AI or genetic engineering, but among those whom I know, these are good people. They want to make the world a better place through the technologies they're working on. Many are well aware of the transhumanist agenda or paradigm. They simply don't operate in that mode. They think, how can I produce something that makes people's lives better? How can I help Ted get around with his new cyborg legs, right? That's the question. And I think that maybe the real danger as the world economy, as militaries across the world, and of course, as educational institutions begin to really flirt with or openly embrace this idea that human beings should be merged with machines, that we really do imperil ourselves, not just our freedoms, but even the actual way in which the next generations live. What kind of world are they going to grow up in? In fact, what kind of world are we going to live in just the next 5 to 10? How do you get out? I think there are many steps. It's a very complicated question, I think that it begins really, you have to understand in the same way that before trans children appeared on your radar, there was an ideological movement sweeping it forward for well over three decades. You have to understand that before, even in the olden days, before communism became readily apparent, there were a lot of rumblings among intellectuals about how the economy should be arranged, what sort of political operations should we live under. In the same way, the people who are driving forward these radical technologies have openly described the kind of worlds they envision that we will all live in these technologies. So number one, it is extremely important to understand who these people are, what these technologies are, and what kind of world they're trying to create. Because the next step, and it's one that I can't answer for you, but the next step is, what kind of world do you want to live in? And how do you create that world in the face of so many different forces? It's the same problem. It's not replacing other problems we have to deal with. We have a lot of problems to deal with. But in the same way, an American patriot has to understand the impact and the sources of foreign influence in our elections, in our economy, in our way of life. In the same way that an American patriot has to understand why national sovereignty in regard to borders is important in order to maintain something like demographic integrity, all of these problems hinge on understanding the forces at work and trying to craft some kind of response. Unfortunately, I got to say, as pervasive as these technologies are, it's very difficult to provide a one-size-fits-all answer. What do we do with these technologies, if anything? But I do hope that the book, Dark Eon, I hope the book allows people to really understand what is happening to us right now. Why do you have trans children being paraded and protected? Why do most children live inside a digital world? In fact, why do most of us live inside a digital world? What does that mean for now? What does that mean for the future? And how do you craft a future that is at least tolerable underneath it, if not completely separate from it?
You had asked what kind of world would you like to live in. You're probably not old enough to remember this, but when I was growing up, we drank water from the garden hose. We didn't have seatbelts in our cars, and we stayed outside and we played. There was no digital media. We had three television stations. If you could get the rabbit ears on your TV to work right. That's the kind of society that, you know, we had a lot of different problems back then. I'm not saying it's perfect, but things have certainly changed. Now, I want to go on to something before I let you go. We could talk about cyborgs and transhumanism, and I hope you will come back. But I just found this out about you, Joe. You were an arena rigger touring the world with rock and roll, country, rap, classical, and cage fighting productions. What?
Small world, isn't it? Yeah, I got to say, to my recollection, I never did a TED show, but, you know, it's possible that we brushed elbows backstage at some point or another. Yes, I was an arena rigger, meaning that I was in charge of the suspension systems that hold the light, sound, video, automation, gotcha. All of that, climbing the high steel, and then eventually touring and setting up the shows. It gave me a very good idea of what it means to live inside a machine that's capable of controlling the minds of thousands or even 100,000 people at a time. And that's not... It's not to say that rock and roll is all bad, but let's just say that seeing the effect of the Devil's Tune from backstage at least left a deep impression about what technology is and what it means for the future.
Yeah, I can only imagine what you've seen. And before I met my husband, I never went to a rock and roll concert. And so I wasn't privy to all that stuff. But things have changed a lot, thankfully. And I'm grateful, Joe, that you came on my show at the last minute. I can't wait to read your book. Joe Allen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy it at least as much as you can enjoy the apocalypse on the way to the bright side.
Right. Enjoy the apocalypse. All right. We'll be right back, everybody. Coming up, Donald Trump stood up to career politicians. It's why Americans loved him. But are the other candidates shying away from that? We'll discuss coming up next.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.
You know, we expected a red wave in November, and I live part-time in Florida, so I can say it was more like red tide. But many don't trust the voting system. So how do we make sure that our next election is going to be any different? Joining me now to discuss is Terry Schilling. Terry, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Shemaine.
So what was it, red wave or red tide?
It was more like a red trickle. The midterm results were so disappointing across the board, especially in the races where it really mattered, those statewide governor and Senate races, like in Wisconsin and in Arizona and Pennsylvania, where Republicans really needed to win. We fell short. And, my organization, American Principles Project, we released a report. We analyzed the campaign messages that were in the campaign ads, the voter contacts that were made. And we found that across the board, Republicans dropped all of the messaging that helped Donald Trump win and helped Republicans win in the past. It's absolutely a disgrace. And we need to get back to Trumponomics. We need to get back to contrasting with Democrats on their woke agenda for our kids and our families. And there's a lot more to do, but we got to fix it before 2024.
Now, a lot of people don't believe that the election did have integrity. What does your organization reveal about that?
Well, we have serious concerns about the integrity of our elections, so much so that 3 years ago, after the 2020 election, we immediately founded the Election Transparency Initiative, which is led by Michael Barrs on our team. And we work directly in the states. We help get new secretaries of state elected. We help pass election integrity legislation. We've had some success, but there's a lot more we need to go. We need to get rid of all of these garbage new rules that were unconstitutionally implemented. And we need to get back to voting day, right? It's now voting season. There's a lot of changes and reforms we need to make, but it's one of our top concerns, that's for sure.
You know, when we first started having elections, what they did was they would come into a room where there would be a dozen people or so, and you would stand before people, your peers, your neighbors, and say who you wanted to vote for. Now it seems like, gosh, dogs and cats are voting, dead people are voting. I mean, it's laughable, but it's not. It's horrific to think what this country has gone through, what our founding fathers have gone through, and where we're at right now. How do we get out of this?
Well, I think one of the most basic ways to start is to require voter identification, right? When you go to the polls, it should be more sacred and more respected than when you buy alcohol or tobacco or go to the casino, right? Our government is very good about verifying that we're of age and that we're who we say we are when we're buying those things and accessing that. But when it comes to our elections, they tend to not get involved in there. And they actually say really insulting things like it's racist to do that, as if Black people don't know how to get photo identification in this country. It's one of the easiest, most basic processes that you need to follow in order to have a job, in order to thrive or even exist in society. But the other thing is we really need to clean up the voter rolls, right? We have seen an absolute mess in states like Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia, where
Michigan.
There are voters that in Michigan. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint, right? It's everywhere. We need to clean up these voter rolls. If you've moved, you should have to re-register to vote every election or every 2 years or every 4 years, whatever it is. But you should not be able to stay on the election rolls after you're dead, after you move to a different state. It makes the system too corrupted and it's too vulnerable. And our elections are too sacred. Lots of men. It's not just that it's disenfranchising your fellow Americans. You're disenfranchising the people that have died and sacrificed some blood for this country, right? This is why they did that, so that we could have free and fair elections. And so when you don't have election integrity, you're spitting in all of their faces and you're spitting on their graves.
You know, it's interesting that American Idol can have immediate election results. You know, you can just text in who you want, A, B, or C candidate, and they have the results right then and there. Why is it so difficult to change?
Well, I think the obvious thing here that not a lot of people want to, you know, focus on is the fact that there's a whole political party now that has industrialized election fraud. Right. They are, you know, there were all those movies last year and documentaries that came out. 2000 Mules was very powerful for me and had a huge impact. They're paying people money to vote. They're giving them cigarettes. They're paying them to collect ballots. Right. When you can pay someone $10 to go and collect a ballot, well, that money adds up very quickly, and you can basically buy an election. All this mail-in balloting, it's very open and susceptible to fraud. You know, you would never mail $1,000 of cash through the U.S. Postal Service, but we do that with our ballots, which are much more valuable than cash, right? And so, look, there's a whole political party that is vested in making sure that we don't clean up our systems, and it's not just that they're on the ballot, and it's not that just they're in the legislatures or governorships, they're in our courts now. And so we're up against a real machine that has a vested interest in making sure that our elections are not secure. So we just have to keep marching forward, pass what we can, bit by bit, piece by piece, and slowly but surely build something that turns our elections into something meaningful and true again.
I hope it's not slow. I hope it happens fast before the next election. Do you have any indication on how they're going to bring in, because we know that they're going to bring in migrants into the voting system. Have you heard anything about that?
You know what? I haven't, but I think this is a key reason why we need voter ID, right? If you are voting, you need to be able to prove that you are who you say you are and that you're a citizen of this country, right? That you are here with your family, that you are paying taxes, that you are an actual citizen with voting rights. But that's not going to change until, I'm sorry, that's not, we're going to continue to have illegal immigrants, or I'm sorry, undocumented aliens in this country voting until we get some sort of voter identification system in place.
So let's switch to another topic about the abortion question. It seems that some candidates are walking back an aggressive pro-life strategy. Check out what Nikki Haley has to say.
When it comes to a federal ban, let's be honest with the American people and say it will take 60 Senate votes. It will take a majority of the House. So in order to do that, let's find consensus. Can't we all agree that we should ban late-term abortions? Can't we all agree that we should encourage adoptions? Can't we all agree that doctors and nurses who don't believe in abortion shouldn't have to perform them? Can't we all agree that contraception should be available? And can't we all agree that we are not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion? Let's treat this like a respectful issue that it is, and humanize the situation and stop demonizing the situation.
You know, she's got some points there. What are your thoughts, Terry?
Well, firstly, I don't know a single issue that was talked about or that's been proposed by any Republican today that will get 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. It could be the most popular thing ever, but it's not going to get 60 votes in the Senate, because that's the nature of our hyper-partisan agenda right now, our situation right now. But I will just say that where I have come down, and our report covers this, the most important thing to get to is to a national 15-week bill that has exceptions for rape and incest. Nikki Haley is right. You have to start with a very popular proposal that wins over voters, that allows Republicans to go on offense against the Democrats, right? The last election, what we saw was Democrats pump in $500 million, that's billion with a B, in attack ads against Republicans, branding them as wanting to support banning all abortions without exceptions. Republicans didn't respond. They didn't even counterpunch and point out that Democrats support abortion the day before delivery of a 7-pound, 8-ounce baby girl, right before, just because the mother decides, I don't want this baby anymore.
Right.
These are
right.
The things that allow, we have a 15-week bill is when the baby can feel pain, right? You can make an argument to voters that we should at least be able to protect the babies that can feel pain. When you got to give anesthesia to a baby to operate on them in utero, you should at least be able to protect them in the womb, provide for exceptions. But I think we need a national bill that allows us to advance the ball forward for the unborn, to protect them, but also allows us to go on offense to make Democrats pay a price, especially with swing voters and women voters, right? A 15-week ban is very popular with women voters, especially suburban women, when it comes to elections. So we got to get to a 15-week national ban. That's where the ground is safe, and it gives us the best opportunity to win elections going forward.
I'm going to say something controversial. I am pro-life, but I do believe that it should be left up to the states. I think it's going to be difficult for the GOP to have a blanket statement, no abortion, and for that to pass. So I agree with what you said. I agree with what Nikki said. The point is, how do we get Republicans, how do we get some of these candidates, some of these presidential candidates to get on board and not make the same mistakes that they did in 2022?
Well, we have to make the political arguments. We have to show them the polling. We have to show them the focus group results. We've done focus groups with over 12 voters across the core four states of North Carolina, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia. And what we found is that voters overwhelmingly support banning abortion with exceptions at 15 weeks. Shamin, I love you, but I think that the real problem with allowing the states to do it is that Democrats will continue to brand Republicans as extremists. They'll point to the most extreme laws in the country, like what Arkansas has or Georgia or Mississippi, any state with a heartbeat bill, and they'll accuse Republicans of wanting to do that. And the Republican response will be to either ignore it or to leave the issue on the table and say they're not going to do anything on abortion. We got to go on offense, and we got to make sure voters know that that Democrats are extreme on this. And by the way, we should at least be doing something to protect the babies in New York and California, right? Those babies deserve protections too.
I'm with you 150%. In a perfect world, there would be no abortion. And it's a shame that we have to convince people that, you know, if a woman is pregnant and she dies in a car accident, there are two deaths, right? So why is it any different? I mean, I'm with you. I agree with this wholeheartedly. I just don't know how Republicans are going to get to that next level.
No, they've just got to man up, right? And this is something that Donald Trump and other candidates like Vivek Ramaswamy, other candidates have been very forceful and strong on this issue. Donald Trump has advocated for a national 15-week bill with exceptions, right? Donald Trump is the real leader of this party, right? And he sets the standard. And so I think the big thing is, you know, when you look at the third debate in 2016, where he pointed out that Hillary Clinton, that she's okay with pulling a baby out of the womb in the ninth month when it's 7 pounds, 8 ounces with all 10 fingers and all 10 toes. That was a very powerful moment for the pro-life movement. So we just need someone to be a leader and to actually state unequivocally that we should at least bring America up to European standards at 15 weeks. That's the average ban in Europe is the 15 weeks. Let's just get America up to European standards, and then we can discuss the rest from there.
Terry Schilling, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Shamin.
God bless. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Do you really know what's in your water? Maybe just a little bit of arsenic and some pharmaceutical drugs, and I don't know, maybe some mRNA or VOCs, volatile organic compounds. I mean, yuck. I found Sentry Wellness System that removes harmful toxins and enriches water with essential nutrients. And it's so much healthier, guys, than buying plastic water bottles. Stop doing that. Check out Sentry H2O and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. That's Sentry, S-E-N-T-R-Y, H2O.com, and use the code HEALTHY10, and you get a discount. Who doesn't love a discount? Okay. Joining me next is a Southern girl, a Southern Oregon school district denied charter status for a charter school that could have revitalized the community's education culture, but it was deemed contentious. Now, could that be because it had pledged to teach students traditional American values? Joining us live now, I don't know, maybe she is a Southern girl. It's the founder and headmaster of Christian School Mountain Academy in Ashland, Oregon, Jenna Hayes. Jenna, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Shamin. Thank you so much for having me on today. Really appreciate it.
Are you a Southern girl at heart, maybe?
I would like to think so. Certainly Southern Oregon, for sure.
There you go. I knew there was Southern there somewhere. Okay, so it's the beginning of school, this new school year. What did it take for you to get to where you are right now, and how's it going?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, so the last 2 years, I basically spent with a team working diligently on bringing an American classical leadership charter school to Southern Oregon, where there's very few options in our particular part in Southern Oregon. We wanted to do a charter school to cast the widest net and to utilize the taxpayer funds that we believe is due to every child, right? However, I did find myself and my team in a very contentious situation where it was our approach in offering a classical, more traditional education model was very much interpreted as hostile. And so there was a whole slew of events that basically, and they changed the legislation is what it ended up as when it was all said and done for charter schools, limiting those rights even more. So it led me to a point at the very end of that, after 2 years of saying, I'm done playing the games with the state. I did my best to play within their parameters and their rules. And we did well as far as we served our initiative and our endeavor with total excellence, but we were just blocked by the left. So that put us on this brand new trajectory where I asked myself the question, what do I really want here if I'm not going to play games with the state of Oregon anymore, which, as you know, is a pretty leftist progressive state, and I'm deeply conservative and maintain traditional values. I also live in a community where there are a very, you know, small minority of traditional thinkers who want alternatives for their kids. And much like, as you know, the sort of mass exodus across the country, we're experiencing the same thing of people pulling their kids out of the public school system for a variety of reasons. So with that, we decided to approach our local church and just ask them the question, would you guys be interested in helping us start a private Christian classical American school? And to which it's interesting because the question and the timing corresponded with what their church membership and their leadership had already felt like was stirring in their hearts, that the Lord had put on their hearts, like, we need to put our money where our mouths are. If we're telling families, like, in terms of spiritual formation, the public school system is forming children in a way that does not correspond with the values of a believer or even just a more traditional thinker. So they're saying, if we actually are saying that, we believe that, we need to put our money where our mouths are. So this church, this little tiny church, has actually helped us sponsor every single child in a now brand new private school endeavor. It's just been incredible to witness.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Congratulations. And God bless you for doing that. I mean, this is God designed. He called you to do this. And thank goodness you said yes. I mean, it's got to take a toll on your life. I don't know if this is the direction that you were planning on going anyway. How'd you decide to take this ball and run with it, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I've got 3 kiddos of my own, all under the age of 8. So I view them at the very beginning of their education careers. I myself went through all of the public school system here in Ashland in Southern Oregon, where I live. And I just know what is available in the public school system. And I don't want to act like it's all bad. But at the same time, I'm also a student of spiritual formation as a Christian. And so I know that it matters. We're all being formed into something. And education, public education, is not neutral. It's not as if those ideas don't have a root system based in a worldview that is not neutral. So anymore, I got to that place of saying, well, in the public school, if we're going for a charter school, I want to get the best possible, healthiest version of education that I could try to offer, which was an American classical leadership education. But when we came, you know, when it came time where the door was shut on that, I said, well, now I'm going to employ all of what I actually want. And that is, as a believer, I want my kids to have access to a classical education, but I also want it to be Christian distinctly. So that's what landed us here. Yeah.
I think more and more people are going to be, more and more communities are going to be adopting this same thing. How can people support what you do and find out more about how they can get involved?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And actually, the motivation for me of coming on your show today is I actually want to make an appeal to all believers or even just more conservative-minded people that the call here is to engage your local church and ask them the question, like, what if, you know, is there a possibility of starting a private Christian school in the church? Churches are uniquely poised with classrooms and space to be able to start a school. Or if they couldn't start a school, would it be possible to recapture this idea of missions, you know, that most churches, you know, donate money to, and instead, you know, filter it into a local private Christian school and in an effort to support and build up the local, private Christian school economy, if you will. And I actually just want to make this last appeal. That is, what if all of the churches in the United States recalibrated on this? What if they said to themselves, actually, we see this need. Parents are starving for some sort of refuge for their families. What if we either start Christian schools or, as a line item on our budgets, what if we add a local private Christian school? And in doing so, run a parallel economy, an education system economy to that of the state. What would that do, in our country? Like, to me, it feels
It would change everything. So God bless you. Thank you so much for doing that. What is your website and how can people get involved directly?
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah. So our website is theschool-oflife.com. It is the School of Life. And on there you can donate, and that just helps our whole team with our effort. That is actually to make this appeal more widespread. We've, yes, opened our very first campus, but the goal is that we will be opening multiple campuses across at least the state of Oregon, where we really need some great education alternatives, like many states.
I love that. Well, Jenna, I hope you come back, and I hope everybody who's watching, make a donation, get involved. This is how change happens. A lot of people say, a gentleman, Joe, talking about transhumanism. If you don't like what's going on in this world, you can make a difference. So check out what Jenna is doing and get involved. Jenna, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Duane. Appreciate it so much.
God bless. Okay, now it's time to hear from you.
Hey, friends, do you have topics you'd like me to cover? How about special guests you'd like to see on my show? I want to hear from you, so send me an email at shemaine.chat@gmail.com. Let's make a difference together.
Okay, this email is from Eva H. I love that you love the story of Esther. I feel like those of us that are living at this moment, we're born for this particular time in history, and that we each have a calling on our own lives. I know my main calling is to help my kids and grandkids to not just wander blindly through this world, but to question everything. And if something doesn't add up, don't just accept it. Stand up to it, even if you are standing all by yourself. Stand up and stand out. I couldn't agree more. This is what this whole show is about. I didn't think I would be here, guys, talking about this, but I feel a calling, and I have gotten so many great emails. I'm going to read just another one for you. Another guest reached out and asked, this is kind of a side note, but I've had a lot of people ask me about my skincare and what I do for makeup, and I want to tell you my secret, okay? This is my secret. I am 61, but here's a little transparency. Might be too much for you. I actually have rosacea, and I found a skincare line in Isagenix that I can use and actually helps me. And whenever I use any other products, I get rosacea bad. So check out Isagenix, and it's about what you put into your body too. And I use the Isagenix collagen and the supplements. And if you want to find out more about that, just email me at shemaine.chat@gmail.com, and I can get you a discount. Hey guys, follow me on social media at Shemaine Nugent on Instagram, where I share some fun memes and even some dancing videos. Grab my book, Killer House, on Amazon. And don't forget, Esther 414, you were made for such a time as this. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next week.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.